Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yes, yes, TJ, we have found a moan sighting in the wild, in the wilderness of Hendersonville, Tennessee. He's back from the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. What's going on, Moan?
A lot, but not much, man. Goodness, I had you saying, Moan, you sound good today. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, I'm back home, DK. It took you about 30 more seconds to realize.
I thought he was in a hotel.
I was back at home, DK. Oh, my, man. How's it going, though?
Well, in the land of Punxsutawney Phil, that, of course, being a Pennsylvania creation, we found that that spring is actually going to come soon. It's been forever since they've had one of those.
Yeah.
And that actually kind of makes sense because it doesn't snow here anymore or anything. We had one brief snowfall, but that hit you guys worse than us.
That's what I was going to say. Heck, we had big snow, and apparently if you look at the almanac and the predictors, we're actually supposed to get another big snow, DK,
yeah,
a big one.
Yeah, you can have it. It's just moving its way to the south, you know? That's the way this weather's going.
I'm going to be real. I like it just a little bit.
DeMond is kind of into this concept where we would actually get this show started, right?
When
DeMond says what's happening, everyone, what he's really saying is ding the bell. Yeah. Ding, I see right through him.
Yeah, it's usual suspects, DK. Here we go.
Mm-hmm. DeMond did not mind being called out there, by the way.
I got to give you props real quick, man, because Mel comes in and says, hey, Moan, DK held it down when you were gone, but you complete him.
Aw. We had fun. We had fun both days. It was, with Arthur Smith coming in, there was just so much to talk about because everything that he does affects only everything, including even the defense, doesn't
it? Yeah, he does, man, because the conversations I've had around the hire, man, is you get an opportunity to give the defense time to breathe. You have a guy that's competent, that's been proven that he can call plays. And I know a lot of people want to bash Arthur Smith for what happened in Atlanta. And you got to look at Atlanta's roster and say, is Atlanta roster better than Pittsburgh roster? And there you go, right? There's your answer, DK.
My face.
Tell the people what your face looked like, DK, when you said, absolutely.
Like I just bit into a year-old prune.
Yeah,
I mean, we said the same thing. It was funny when we went down to Atlanta for the preseason game. Looking at those Falcons, I knew it was just preseason, but, like, man, there was just, like, nothing there.
Yeah, and that's what you got to live with, too. If you yourself think this roster is a good roster, just give us a hey Moan or DK emoji of the shoes, something in the comments, because that's where we got to start at. Looking at where Arthur Smith was as a head coach, I think it's two different situations right there. It's more or less about what his specialty is, and he, just like Bobby Slowick, Ben Johnson, Brian Callahan, Thomas Brown, all these young coordinators coming out, Arthur Smith was in that conversation. Arthur Smith ended up getting a head coaching job. And because of that, I mean, he could not specialize in what he was good at, and that's calling plays. I've had people, of course, because I work close to this organization, has been around Arthur Smith and have said this about him. The dude know how to call it. The dude knows how to game plan. The dude know what the heck he is doing. Pittsburgh is in good hands. That's what I've been told about him. And not people just trying to say, "Ooh, you guys got our throwaway." He wasn't a throwaway here in Nashville. He left Tennessee for a head coaching job. And it's just like you've been asked to go be CEO of a company. after you've been the manager for a while. You know what I'm saying, DK? It's like manager, then regional manager. Like, you've just been asked to go be the regional manager, and that's what he chose to do by going to Atlanta.
And it is a different skill set, isn't it, Moan? I mean, you've seen different personalities over the years between any of the coordinators that you played under. And by that, I'm even including the defensive guys. I'm including Coach LeBeau, who might be Exhibit A in NFL history. Brilliant, beyond brilliant, innovative mind as a defensive coordinator. As soon as he was put into a head coaching position, it just didn't work.
It just doesn't work. If y'all carefully look at the new hires around the league too, or here's another thing too that I think some new head coaches, specifically offensive ones that will call plays, are doing. And even the ones that we're looking at in the league right now, Kyle Shanahan and Coach Reed, Andy Reid, right? They are the two guys, right,
yeah,
DK?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Look at their team and the structure. They still have offensive coordinators, meaning their specialty is calling games and setting up the team on game day. Andy Reid's offensive coordinator is the guy from Chicago. God, give me one second real quick, DK. I'll find it for you. His offensive coordinator is Matt Nagy, okay? If you look at Kyle Shanahan, he has an offensive coordinator on his staff that helps sets up the structure during the week, allows himself to be a head coach by managing the defense, the offense, and the special teams, and all his coaches. And then on game day, he facilitates the actual game plan and calls it with, of course, conversation with everybody else. That's what I've actually seen being done here in Nashville, too. Brian Callahan is the head coach, play caller on game day, but he just hired a guy as his offensive coordinator to break down the tape for him, set the game plan for him, and pretty much set the week out, and he calls the plays. That's what Arthur Smith, I think, was lacking in Atlanta. I think first-time guy in that position, not much guidance with a young team also, which is why I think a lot of people will knock him. Is he for everybody? Probably not. Does he have to prove it in a city like Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Western PA, DK, that has been longing since Randy Finkner in like 2018 and 19, right? That's how far we got to go back to where you start saying to yourself, we need an offense to support a well-oiled defense, and that needs some help. So if you can get somebody to help you on the other side of the ball to keep you off the field, Cam and them are playing unsurmountable reps throughout the course of the year. I don't think you realize the amount of snap that Cam, TJ, Minka, those guys play. And when you play that much as a defense, you overexpose yourself too to injuries, to bad play, and the way teams can break you down. You're just not fresh. So this, to me, I think, with the hiring of Arthur Smith, is a bigger deal than I think you guys are going to want to make it.
Yeah, I have a feeling, Moan, that this audience in general, and by that I mean the entire fan base, not that the entire fan base is watching this show, because the entire fan base is definitely bigger than 619 people that we have in here live.
Yeah, 100%.
But everyone loves off-season splash, okay? They love the, whoa, this is so exciting, this is so whatever, because it has the rush of a football game, and it has, you know, other short-term thrill moments to it,
yeah,
okay?
It does.
But that makes you Cleveland, okay? Let me be mean about this, okay?
Go ahead.
If all you're looking for is to win it all in March, then you are Cleveland, okay? Right. If you're looking for, here I go with that word again, and I shared this with you the other day, Moan, on this show, foundational. What you're looking for is somebody who can put in an offense that's foundational, that's not unique, that's rooted to your franchise. The Steelers are running offense. Even when the Steelers had a Hall of Fame quarterback, actually, either one of them.
Yeah.
If you want to go all the way back to the 70s, as everybody always seems to want to do, Terry Bradshaw ran a running offense.
Yeah.
Ben Roethlisberger ran an offense that, whenever AB was there, there were all kinds of yards getting run up. But Moan, how did you guys see yourselves? You were on that line.
We're going to run that ball.
You got to run the ball.
We're going to run that ball.
Even when Ben's throwing for 500 yards, I heard you guys for years. It was all about running.
You know why we were able to do those types of things? Two things, and got to acknowledge one without saying the other. The reason we were able to do that, one, seven. Ben was a huge part of that. Say what you want to. The respect that you get from an established franchise got played somewhat of a part in. You give that credit to, right, DK? Mm-hmm. Yes, you do. Hey, blessing you for your sneeze earlier.
I've got all these blessings here. I'm feeling very blessed. What is all this?
From the sneeze earlier.
Sneeze. I thought it was because I insulted Cleveland.
No, we don't care about them. What are you talking about, DK? Jeez. Cleveland in the offseason? No, we talk major crap about them.
This one was about Cleveland. Okay.
Yeah, it was cool. If man, not the city, the team. Okay. Not the city, the team. But let me finish the statement real quick. The reason you're capable of throwing for that many yards, the quarterback, and also being able to establish the run when you need to. You know, like that's how those types of things happen.
Rich says that Josh Allen is baby Ben. No, he isn't. Ben won.
Ooh.
Well, no, I mean, I don't want to, you know, is that really a shot?
That ain't a shot. It is shot, DK.
I mean, Ben not only won right away, he didn't have his best performance in his first Super Bowl. He sure did in his second. How about having all those highlights floating around yesterday on the 15th anniversary?
Man.
It's so much more than James Harrison's interception and Santonio Holmes' catch at the end. There's so much more to that game.
I mean, you look at the back and forth of the O-line play, the sacks and the spin-around throws and extending plays and stuff. DK, you're 100% correct, my brother. Goodness.
All right, guys, we have a Rapid Fire Friday to deal with here, and I have been, as Moan's been talking, I've been taking your questions about the Senior Bowl in Mobile, and you've got a bunch of them, and we're going to fire those at the man right after we come back with the only segment that matters.
And that's Hey Moan. Good people, let's do it!
At DK Pittsburgh Sports, we take pride in coverage that connects our city's fans to their favorite teams. Now, that connection's stronger than ever. Introducing our all-new state-of-the-art app. Find expert inside reporting and original podcasts. Check live box scores. Track the latest stats. Chat it up with our community of thousands of fans, all in one place. The new app from DK Pittsburgh Sports. Coverage that connects.
We have an audience full of program directors here. Hodge says, hey, Moan, is Seven joining the show next week while DK's on vacation in Winnipeg?
I'll see if I can swing that. I still got to send Seven this jersey that's in my truck that somebody asked me to have signed by him. God, I'm the worst ever at accumulating autographs, DK. God.
Mark Lancaster gets us started today. Moan, have you had a chance to evaluate the off-ball backers in this year's draft? There's noise saying that Tommy Eichenberg could be a Steeler with the 54th pick. What did you think in general of the linebackers that were there?
I didn't see much of the inside linebackers. I'll be completely honest with you. Nobody, in my opinion, somewhat stood out because I'll be real to you. The Senior Bowl is such a big disadvantage for inside linebackers. Because they put them in situations that aren't real. They make them cover running backs coming out of the backfield, and there's a left hash, a right hash, and all this field behind them. So linebackers can get burned in those situations. Inside linebackers can get burned in those situations because there's no defensive help for them in those situations. So if I was to sit here and say, hey, yeah, the linebackers did this and that, it wasn't much to see as far as the inside linebackers go.
Brian says, hey, Moan, how do you think the fan base would have reacted to hiring John Gruden instead of Arthur Smith? Gosh.
How do I think? They probably loved it because it's a name everybody know. That's just what it is. I hate that that's the case, too.
That's what I'm talking about, though.
It is. Oh, my gosh. It's such a name that everybody know and you're familiar with. And, oh, it's John Gruden, and he's won a Super Bowl, and him and Coach Tomlin are good friends, and all. That ain't the case. You're looking around this league and it's ever changing. And I'm not here to preach to you guys. You've seen all this stuff, but there's a lot of young talent coming into the NFL, and those old names that you're used to are going to soon be replaced by this young crop of talent who have been in this league for 14, 20 plus years as a GA, working their way up to a coordinator role that we're going to have to get used to. I'm not on the old retread guy every single coaching hire. That's just my opinion.
Everybody wants a center. You want a center.
Oh, DK.
You see anything?
Man. Hey, my brethren. Jackson Parker Johnson. Solid.
Oh, okay. We got a name.
Jackson Parker Johnson is very solid. I have another one, man. I interviewed this guy, Charles Turner III out of LSU. Everybody know Jackson Parker Johnson. He's solid. I'm telling you, he is about 6'4", 325, 330. And you think with that size and, you know, you say his weight, like he's not that fast. DK, every single drill, he is up and down the field. He's finishing every single block. He ended up having an injury at the Senior Bowl, but it's going to be fascinating. I don't think it's anything serious because he walked off and all that type of stuff. But Jackson Powers Johnson out of Oregon is a STUD. That was another guy, Tyler Guyton, who I was high on to as a tackle. But as far as the overall play, nastiness, fierceness, Jackson Powers Johnson, and right behind him was Charles Turner. Charles Turner reminds me a lot of Marquise. He's probably about 290-ish, 6'4", 300 pounds.
You mean frame-wise.
And you know what? When I sat down with him, guess what he said? Who he looked up to?
No Marquise. Way. Without so you much, bringing him up.
So he didn't even know I played for the Steelers.
Oh, Jesus.
He didn't even know I played for the Steelers. And I ended up inboxing Marquise, man. And I sent him this athlete's picture. I said, hey, I'm covering the Senior Bowl. I interviewed this kid, man. Ask him who he modeled his game after. He said, you. I said, about the same size and build as you, man. I told him I'd let you know. And he said, that's fire. Let him know greatness is a choice. Either you pick it daily or you don't.
That's really cool that he would actually think to do that, meaning to pass something along to the kid. Marquise has such an unusual build for a center that it's hard for me to even picture. I mean, when I look at Marquise, I always thought of the shoulders first and foremost. They're wide shoulders, but not at all one of those bigger offensive lineman frames, you know?
And here's the thing, too. Jackson Powers Johnson is a power rusher, I think. And before we go any further with him, I think as more and more we talk about him, Jackson, the center, his stock is going to go up. He may be a late first, early second guy. I don't know if he's going to be there for us. DK, I'm going to do something that's a visual, and I'm not sure if it's going to show clearly. But I went to – his name is Chaz T3 on social media, and this looked like a Marquise rep.
Oh, man.
Okay. Does he not move like Pounce?
I can see that.
You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Does that not look like a Pounce rep right there?
That's interesting.
Ironically. Go ahead.
The part about this that I find most fascinating is that you will hear people say definitively that there are no first-round centers. But yet, when they bring up this one young man, they glow about him.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Williamson from our company loves Jackson Powers Johnson, former NFL scout who's on our staff. And he's not going to dismiss not only that he'd be a first-round pick, but that he might not be there when the Steelers go.
The noise,
which is at 20, if memory serves.
Yeah, the noise is too loud. I'm going to be honest around Jackson Powers. If you believe that he can do that, and if he didn't have a major injury at the Senior Bowl, which I don't think he did, like if it's an MCL, I'm taking him. Do you hear me?
You're saying.
MCL, some light like that, DK sprained ankle, screw working out at the combine, because he made a hot tape at the Senior Bowl, DK.
Oh, that's certainly interesting. I mean, the other thing I think might be a factor for a lot of teams was I'll bet there's a lot of people in a lot of draft departments around the NFL who are tired of being told that they missed on Creed Humphrey.
Oh, my, because he's left-handed.
Just in general.
I know.
You know, it's like, oh, yeah, you're the team that missed on Humphrey, and you took fill in the blank. In the Steelers' case, that was Pat Freiermuth. But you took so-and-so instead, and you're just a dummy.
And here's the thing, too, about getting your guy in this draft, too, real quick. If you listen to the talking heads, DK, and we don't here because we have formulated our own opinions, right? But the number one consistency from Jim Nagy, who runs the Senior Bowl, talking to a bunch of NFL teams, has been this. Because of NIL and college and stuff like that, kids can go back. They are saying the back end of the draft, fifth, sixth, seventh round, may not be high quality. So if you have your guy, may be better off going to move up, packaging some picks to try to move up as much as you possibly can, because it's going to be filled with a bunch of guys that may have been sixth and seventh round or undrafted guys because of the amount of kids going back to school.
Yeah, a lot of people assessing here a shallow class, so you're not going to see a whole lot of late round types.
Yeah.
That's not as much fun.
It's not. And there's two other centers that didn't show up. BB, I think, out of out of Oklahoma or Oregon State. And then Cedric Vran-Pran out of Georgia, I think, should have come to the Senior Bowl, and he didn't, because all everybody want to talk about is Jackson Powers Johnson after this week.
Wow. Okay.
Just look. See, I was missing DK, but I was working too. Okay. I had my scout eye on.
No, I told everybody, I said, when he comes back, he's coming back with a vengeance, because he's telling me that he's got stuff from down there.
I do.
Jackson Powers Johnson is definitely a name for everybody, even those of. Even those of our audience who aren't necessarily uber draft nicks or whatever, you start planting some names in your head. You start having some fun poking around, looking at some videos and so forth. You know what I mean?
I got another one for you on the other side of the ball.
Let's
two
have
of them
it.
For you, DK. Two of them. Three, actually. I have
oh,
to find
boy, here we go.
One. On the defense side, I've been saying for about a year or so, more than that, you got to get Cam some help. Have we not been on that train?
Well, we were on the train, and then we let DeMarvin Leal on, and then we kicked him off again. So, yes.
Yes. We've been on that train, man. But there's a guy there, man. Let me find his name so I can be exact about him, DK, from Western Michigan, by the name of – 1 second, I'm going to find it, DK. But he's a DN, probably 5 technique. That was wrecking shop down in Mobile, man. I'm gonna get his name in a little bit. I don't have my book in front of me.
Okay,
DK.
3-4 or 4-3? I don't have to ask.
He will
Nobody
be
does
a three. He's gonna be a 3-4 type. But when it comes down to how he was operating DK as a D lineman, I'll say this: he had one of the faster times as far as running on the field. His hustle was insanely good. And he looks like a Pittsburgh Steeler type of guy. But this two dudes in particular that I'm super high on, okay? Braden Fisk out of Florida State. He's a Western Michigan transfer. Went there for 1 year and absolutely crushed it.
DK, what's his position?
Three technique that can be a headache interior, DK. I'm talking about an absolute menace. He probably had one of the best rushes out of almost anybody at the Senior Bowl this year. Really showed up. But the dude that makes me smile, DK, okay, is Tavondre Sweat out of Texas.
I actually had a feeling you were going to mention him today. Go ahead.
You want to know why? Big boy is a big dude. He plays big. He got a hustle about him. And he don't give a you-know-what about how you feel about him. When it came down for anybody.
I hear Steph when you say that.
He's bigger than Steph, though.
Get out of here. This show's over. Nobody's bigger than Steph.
DK, hear me out. He's so big, he didn't weigh in, okay? But it's a good.
Wait, was that just a line?
No, he didn't weigh in. Because there might be a little bit of a weight thing, but Tavondre Sweat, okay, probably about 6'5"-ish. He'll probably weigh in at the combine about 360-ish. I think his optimal playing weight is going to probably be like 340. He looks good, though, DK. You hear me? And every single time that this big boy went against somebody in one-on-ones, you know what it looked like? Look at my hands.
I am.
Whoop. Okay. Not just that, though, DK, but his hustle to the ball was insanely good. He was first up in the line every single time. And when he walked out there, DK, you know how big dudes, man, we slump over a little bit, try to hide our bigness.
A little bit of a hunch. Yep.
Big, tall, ready to go. And I dapped him up trying to get to interview him, but he was pulled by everybody, right, DK? I was like, man, play for Pittsburgh, trying to familiarize myself with him. He was like, oh, really? He was like, man, Coach Tomlin. I was like, you fit in Pittsburgh, okay? And he lit up like a light bulb about that. But his stock, I think, went up despite him not weighing in or any of those things.
Now, would he be a potential conflict with that type of build with Keanu Benton? Or can you see Benton, based on what you've seen of Keanu, be a guy that slides left or right?
Here's the thing. He played a lot of reps at Texas. First, second, third down type of guy. So the size, of course, you can get that under control, okay, DK, as far as the weight goes. He's a 1-3 type of guy. And when it comes down to stopping the run, you remember how we had a whole lot of hopes, and I love him, my Vol, Dan McCullers? This is, if Dan McCullers was a two, this is a five on what you need from him.
Jeez.
Just that drive and angry man syndrome. Tavondre plays with that out of Texas, man. But those are the two D tackles that I absolutely love when it came down to them dudes going to prove themselves this weekend.
Big Dan. Big Dan. Love the guy. He just wasn't angry enough.
Wasn't
angry. You know?
Tavondre Sweat out of Texas, he don't care about how you feel about him. He's there to wreck shop, and boy, it'll be good to see him.
Wow, that's some interesting stuff here. We have scouting reports coming from within our community here. Hodge says he beats double teams consistently. Never mind beating double teams, just draw them.
He will. Like the split, earn them. Like when they did guard center combos against him, DK, he holding his own. There wasn't a lot that you can do with him. And like I said, he acted and played like he was a big boy. And that's what I appreciate about. If your kid is big, you hear me? 6'4 and up, 300 pounds, whatever you want to call him. Don't ever minimize your kid. It ain't your fault that you had good genetics. And little Jimmy over here, okay, 5'10", that want to play D-line. No, you tell your kid, you put your foot on his neck. Do you understand? Don't ever minimize a big kid. Let them flourish at all times. All right, I'm done. That was the dad in me coming out, okay, DK?
That's good stuff, Dad. Chris Dolnack says, defensive line, corner, inside linebacker, and center, not necessarily in that order. Now, Chris isn't the only one to mention corner. I'm respectfully not going to agree with that. I don't want to see another cornerback, certainly not in a prominent round drafted. A couple reasons for that. One is that I look at Joey Porter Jr. as having obviously cemented his status where he is, okay?
Yeah.
My preference for the other side, the other outside corner, I always feel like you can find that player in free agency. They aren't necessarily super expensive, and you'd love to have that experience on that side. Now, what everybody's going to be yelling at me as I say this is, Corey Trice Jr., Corey Trice Jr., Corey Trice Jr. Okay, great, okay? But you're not going to go into a season with JPJ and a brand new, right off of a major injury, Trice, as your corners. You're just not, no matter what you see in Latrobe. Right. So you'd like to have that veteran. I'm not in on corners early in the draft. How do you feel, Moan?
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think you can find a very serviceable one in free agency. I look at, honestly, what Houston's done with Steve Nelson. Remember him in Pittsburgh? Steve Nelson's become a player. I know he's probably not coming back to Pittsburgh, but to your point, DK, Steve Nelson got better and better and better over the years since leaving Pittsburgh.
So much so that your point is
valid. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm with you on that. I think it's okay to have Joey Porter Jr. be your number one dog and how you view him, and go get a, I don't know, 5-year guy, 6-year guy that you see an upside that you scouted in these moments before the draft that you believe can play in your system.
Yeah, there's I'm not going to be much in on corners, that's for sure here. Let's see what else we have here. And Teresa points out that the free agency class this spring for corners is going to be a very good one, which will bring that price down. Yes, there are some corners who do cost some money. There are also some that don't. You basically have to pick out what you value in that position, what you need from your defensive scheme. It is not the same from team to team here. Steelers and Salsa says, my cousin is only 13 and already 6'2", 225. I keep telling his mom to put him in football, but she's a registered nurse and says, no, thank you. Now,
go ahead.
I mean, you're not going to argue with anybody's parenting on this show unless it's abusive, and this certainly isn't. So,
hey, I ain't got nothing to tell you other than the fact that he'd be good out there, but make sure they put him in a position-specific spot. And also look at mom and dad. So if he's 6'2", 225 right now, he might be more of an outside linebacker as opposed to a guard. Now, if dad is about 6'4", and mom is like 5'8", then he might be an offensive lineman. He should probably start playing football or D-tackle or something.
Tube Dude says, if the Steelers draft a center, how are the Steelers going to make sure that we don't get a Kendrick Green situation again?
Because these dudes actually play center. I thought the majority, is that fair to say, DK? I think these dudes actually play center. And listen to the, like, when we look at
what
these.
A pick. I'm sorry. The whole thing, giving him Marquise's number. I'm sorry. Yeah. Somebody has to bring it up again.
Do it, man.
He said just now, Mike Tomlin did at the after the season press conference, he said, we don't anoint anybody. Now, this was in reference to the Mason Rudolph versus Kenny Pickett alleged competition that'll take place, presuming that Mason is signed back. And asked about the validity of such a competition, his response was, we don't anoint anybody here. And I'm thinking, there's 53. You know, it was a classic case of anointing someone just because you were really hoping he'd be that guy.
Hope takes you nowhere, DK. It just gives you something to think about, okay? Because the results is all that matters, man. Results is all that matters. But the dudes that I saw, man, from Charles Turner III and Jackson Powers Johnson, to me, signify dudes that are probably capable of playing in the AFC North.
Jared says, seeing KG take snaps at fullback was peak. Yeah, and how much time did we waste on that subject, Moan?
Yeah, I know.
And who was yelling at everybody to change the subject because it was a waste of everybody's time?
You were.
And I got accused of all kinds of stuff. You need to listen to your da-da-da-da. No, I don't.
They called you a hater, DK. You
I was a hater. Okay. Michael Walker says, hey, Moan, each year the Steelers have a first-round bust, says Michael of the team that drafted TJ Watt. Who should we stay away from in the first round?
First round bus?
I don't know. Defensive player of the year, first ballot Hall of Famer.
Cam, Pounce, Dave. Hey. I mean, just so you know too, Mike, this ain't no shame you type of moment. The hit rate on first rounders is about 54%.
Is it really? I hadn't
it's
heard
about
that.
54%, DK. Yeah. Go back and evaluate a draft class in the first round.
Is Najee Harris considered a first-round bust by somebody when he's the only running back? Look, I've been tough on Najee, and so have you at times, okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
But he's literally the only running back in the NFL who's had 1,000 yards running in each of the past three seasons. You can say what you want about him. You can't call him a bust. Mm-hmm. I'm not ready to call Kenny Pickett a bust.
Yeah, that ain't going to float right there, man. But no, the first round bust, the hit rate is about 52 to 54% on hitting that. And if you look at your team's draft picks in the first, here's the thing. A lot of people think that your team, your fan base, scouting department is one of the best in the world.
You heard this down there?
DK, I've talked to not just this fan base here, but others that speak highly of Pittsburgh's scouting department. Okay, like they have a standard in how they evaluate when a player get cut from the Steelers. What happens usually, DK? They get picked up really fast. I mean, you say what you want to about Kendrick Dotson, right? About Dotson is this, or Kevin Dotson.
Kevin Dotson.
Is this. The pedigree, I think, was somewhat there. The teaching and system that he was drafted for in Pittsburgh probably wasn't fit for him. This joker, DK, do you know this about Kevin Dotson? It's going to end up being, if it goes through in this projection, a nice free agent. And don't get visions of, oh, we missed out. No, you didn't miss out. He didn't perform well in Pittsburgh. That's fair to say.
He had his periods.
He had his periods, right? Yes. But not consistent enough to warrant him to stay on the spot on the roster. And he's gone to a place and flourished. So your scouting department at Pittsburgh is very much respected.
Yeah, Cody Craven brings up Broderick Jones. Is Broderick Jones a bust?
I mean, technically, Joey Porter Jr. is a first rounder.
Joey Porter Jr. is a 32nd overall pick. Matt McMillan says, hey, Moan, if you were Arthur Smith and coming into the organization, are you rolling? Who's your quarterback?
You know, I'm rolling with Mason, but here's the thing, too. He's actually called plays in the system in Tennessee, right? That had Ryan Tannehill, an all pro guy. Had Ryan Tannehill have his best years here. And whether you look at Tannehill as a manager, a second tier, third tier quarterback.
Matter. That's the Brock Purdy discussion. It doesn't matter.
That's why I do this show with you, DK. They go off, man.
When you talk about, I think it was, of all people, I think it was Tom Brady who recently said, whenever somebody referred to a quarterback as a game manager, his response was, we're all game managers. Well, if Brady says that, and he's the greatest quarterback who ever lived, I don't think that's even up for debate anymore. The discussion's over, yeah. Okay? If you can manage the game, that's what you're doing back there. Yes, the throws matter. Yes, the arm strength matters. Yes, the mobility and the strength, sturdiness on your feet matters. But ultimately, you're doing this. You're doing your 3D chess back there, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely right, DK. Absolutely right. I see a couple of folks. Go ahead. We can keep this up, too, real quick. A couple of folks bringing up Devin Bush being a bust. We're trying to pinpoint where
that's
the Steelers
accurate.
Have missed. Okay, yeah. Here's the thing, too. Devin Bush has been in this league for 5 years now, too. He may have not done well in Pittsburgh, and he's got ways to go. But if he get 10 years out of this thing, did he meet expectations? No. Absolutely not. He didn't meet expectations. But bust is a different – it's like the lineman that came out in the 80s, right?
Yeah.
He was a bust.
Yeah, you're talking about Huey Richardson. Yeah, the defensive lineman. Yeah, you have guys that are just – they show up in Latrobe and the coach says, get out of here.
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty rare. Okay, they'll give you a couple of years.
Yeah,
if they absolutely. Invest, but yeah, Artie was a first-round pick, but Artie's still in the league.
Did he meet expectations? No. Absolutely not, man. No. I guess it may be the same thing. I'm going to stop trying to cover up for him, DK. Maybe the same thing, okay?
Dr. Shadow wants to know, plain and simple, Moan, what are your expectations for next season?
Consistency. Run the ball consistency. I'm talking about first quarter to the fourth quarter consistency. And I'm specifically talking about the offense. Because to me, until the second late half of the season, that's been one of the biggest problems for the Steelers, right? It's the first half of the season. Who the heck are y'all? Y'all can't even get, three. You can't even get six plays in a row. I think Arthur Smith brings that to Pittsburgh. I think he brings that identity to Western PA. All I've heard, and I talked to other people around that have been around and have said this, y'all going to run the ball. You're going to take deep shots. The play action is going to be something that will be unpredictable on how you do it. And the weapons that you guys have in Pittsburgh, oh, that was another thing, too. It's just like, can you imagine Arthur Smith with those weapons? Like, the stuff that we see George Pickens do in the games, there's like he does three times that in practice. And imagine putting that on tape like that, DK. That would be insanely good. Consistency is what I see coming to Pittsburgh.
The only news of the day regarding the football team was that Arthur Smith's hiring was officially announced. For those of you who've been asking, and there's been a lot of that, like, why don't we hear anything about this? Why don't we hear anything about this or hear about a press conference or whatever? I don't know that you're going to have a press conference. It would not be Steelers-like to do that. Yeah. There's a certain level above which they'll have a press conference, and I don't.
OTAs, probably. Or the combine.
It could be the combine. It could be the owners' meetings. I'm sure he's going to be out at the combine, and outlets like ours that'll be there will have access to him. But on this statement, there was a quote assigned to Arthur Smith. I'm going to read it to you in its entirety. It's such a unique opportunity to be able to work for an organization like the Pittsburgh Steelers with the history and the culture here. And the opportunity to work with Mike Tomlin, to me, it's a perfect cultural fit. Moan, I want to ask you about this because when the Falcons fired Smith,
yeah,
none other than Arthur Blank, the owner of the franchise, put into the press release announcing his firing. He expressed appreciation to Arthur Smith for what he had done for the Falcons' culture. Now, he made clear he was not happy with having three straight seasons of 7-10.
Right.
He also made clear that that's why the firing occurred. I think Blank's like 81 years old or something. I think he's getting a little tired of waiting, right? Just saying.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So you don't often see that. When someone is on the way out, you just see parted ways, whatever. You don't even see a quote, much less one that praises the guy for something that's that specific. How much can a coordinator influence culture or discipline or some of the stuff even that Najee Harris was talking about at season's end?
It's that right there, DK. You know, it's having your players understand that we have a way of working. Coordinators do set that. There is a standard to where when you command a room and the respect, DK, is there also, and you know this guy has a track record. When Todd Haley came in, like, that was one of the things where an outsider came to us, like, the respect that he brought. Man, he may have failed as a head coach, but this joker can call plays. And that's what it was for him. So he did establish the idea. DK, you remember the announcement, and everybody thought we were crazy, right? I'm going to just throw this number out there. 30. You remember that? He told us we're going to go for 30 a game. He established
He told everybody that. Yeah, and he put it in public.
He put it out there for everybody to see. He said, we're doing – that's what a coach can do for you. When the coach walks out into that team meeting room and said, hey – this is how we're running the game plan. And I don't want no questions asked. That's Bruce Arians. You asked me, how can you establish the culture? Those are the types of things those types of guys do, DK, whenever they have when they have confidence in their play calling, confidence in their work, and they're proven too, man. That's what you get. And, of course, Najee wants and expect that type of stuff to be a part of it. These guys in them real crucial points in their careers. Najee, Jalen, Broderick in his second year. Like, there's a lot that goes into this, DK. And I'll even throw Kenny and Mason in there also with what happens with that, DK. Shout out to Mason, by the way, too.
Mm-hmm. By the way, the Mason Rudolph episode of this show.
What is it doing?
It crossed 30,000 views. That's an astonishing figure. I would say that it's a record for this show, but it's like triple the record.
Okay. Whoa.
Yeah, and it's still out there. And by the way, if you're interested in seeing that show in smaller bites, the boss over here spent the better part of yesterday chopping it up into meatier morsels. Yeah, 20 minutes each. So, yeah. And they're available, and they'll be available over the weekend in podcast form as well. So if you're going to drive on the weekend,
no, these people stay on YouTube. They can go
to YouTube. And you can do it right here on YouTube as well.
Thank y'all.
Yeah, taking care of some business here. Larry Brown has gifted 5 memberships. Matt McMillan has just arrived on our shores.
It's cool to see the 6-month stickers.
She's seen a lot of 6-month and 7-month stickers coming
seven.
In.
I said 6.
Oh, okay. Well, I see a 7 there.
You can't because it doesn't exist.
I just saw it.
Okay. It's a football that has a number 6 in it.
Oh, that. Oh, okay. Yeah, there's a football that has a little number 6 in it if you're with us for that long here. So,
I am.
We have a couple sets of gifts there and contributions from Jessica, from Meet It Up, it looks like.
Yeah.
Rick says, hey, Moan, how do you think Mason would lean given a little bit bigger bag somewhere else? He seems to have the relationships to keep him here.
Knowing that you have an opportunity, that's where his lean is going to come from. Do I have a fair shot? And that may actually come through, Rick, your point, a bag. Okay, if the bag justifies you are taking me as a serious contender to be your franchise starter, then I'll stay. And that goes for the Steelers too, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say that's the part that really has to jump out at you is the best, most potent way to send a message to him that you take him seriously is that you're going to pay him a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how Mitch ended up being the backup, or Mitch ended up being the number 2 option because Mitch was the one with the contract, you know?
Yep.
Rico says, no team is going to pay him and just give him number 1, I don't think, meaning Mason Rudolph. Best case, they'll pay him and guarantee a good shot at number 1, just like the Steelers. But can't the Steelers match any offer that he might get?
I think they will, but here's the thing. They'll match that to a point. That's how they go. You got to think it ain't just him, and the security that they have is, man, we still got Kenny. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the security they got. They don't have to match it. They can try to get close and say, look, you don't have to move. We're going to create a system for you, and you can believe in the offensive coordinator we just hired.
And, boy, I'm about to say something that'll be really unpopular with a lot of people here, but if you're Mason Rudolph and you're looking for a place where you can contend for the starting job, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, just do a survey, okay?
Yeah.
The last time I checked this, and this was shortly after Kenny got hurt and he didn't play again, obviously, he was the 28th best quarterback in the NFL. Okay, in the time spent during which he was the starter, he was the 28th. Well, that means that there are only a handful of spots that you could go, theoretically, where there'd be a better opportunity. But out of that handful, how many of those are going to go draft a quarterback right now in a couple months? The Steelers won't. Not in the first round. Okay? So these other teams that need quarterbacks, you know, that had the 29th, 30th, 31st, the 32nd best quarterbacks in the league, I'm just saying Pittsburgh might be where you'd want to be in order to be the starter. Not being mean here, okay?
No, DK, that's how we do this show. Is we gotta call it what the tape says. If it says and the stats suggest that it's not good, they're gonna think we're fools doing the show or starting not to believe us if we start telling lies. DK, you're giving them exactly what's out there. If I was trash, DK, you gotta write it as such, right? That's how this game goes, because we got over 900 in here because these people want their team to win.
And
if it's bad,
that's it. I've told this story before, but there was nothing more painful I ever had to type on my screen than in your final year when you struggled. Yeah. I had to do it. I had to do it, or else you're not taking me seriously for all the times that I said Ramon was great or Ramon should have been to the Pro Bowl or whatever. Because if I'm not calling it like it is, then the other stuff didn't mean anything. Jason says, "Hey, Moan, do you think that keeping Broderick Jones, ooh, this is a good question, at right tackle could hurt him in the long run with the likes of Kevin Dotson doing well at his natural position?"
I'm going to say this about the natural position, however it goes. Okay, I'm going to say this about Broderick. Broderick needs to go take the left tackle position. If y'all think Broderick deserves to be a left, because I know a tackle in Darnell Wright that primarily played left in college and can hit the NFL all-rookie team playing right tackle. Okay?
Yeah.
If Broderick wants the left tackle spot.
He wants it. Let's be clear on that. Yeah.
DK, he better go do this. Grab it and squeeze the life out of it, because that's a heavy position to play. No, I'm tired of people thinking anybody deserves something. You guys are upset, or a lot of people, I ain't going to say you guys, a lot of people couldn't understand why Joey Porter Jr. wasn't starting early in the season. And I think this is because he had to grow, learn the defense, and not be overexposed. The second half of the season was very beneficial for Joey Porter Jr., right? Because he had an opportunity to learn and grow into being a pro. If Broderick proves not to be good enough to play left, okay, then keep him at right. But if he shows to be the left tackle for this team and he's by far better than Dan Moore, this ain't even me defending Dan Moore at all. But when it comes down to competition and getting away from this world of football peers that want to see people earn stuff, y'all got to stop telling him he's the left tackle unless he go earn that. Until DK come back in here in training camp, because OTAs don't matter as much, until DK comes back in here in training camp and say, "Moan, he's a left tackle."
Yeah.
What does and it he, matter?
I know. But he wants to be one.
He and wants to be one. And I'll give him that.
He has that. He did have a conversation with the Steelers after the season, as he acknowledged, about that. Now, nobody said you're going back to left tackle.
Right.
But it came up. He continues to view himself as a left tackle.
Yeah.
He did, for the most part this season, he took one for the team.
That's fair.
By going to that right side, because Dan Moore couldn't go to that right side.
You know what's fascinating, though, too, DK? I hope they find or get a guy that's in-house or either in free agency that can play right, too, because where does T.J. Watt mostly rush off of?
Mm-hmm.
The offensive tackle, the right tackle.
Yes, he does.
You need both, okay?
We're no longer in the world where you're hiding the right tackle.
Nobody. So that's the other part of it, too. Who's to say they're not going to go get a first-round tackle again that plays left or something? Who knows?
Yeah, boy, that's a fun subject to start getting into drafting at the tackle positions. How many high picks can they invest? I know. That's one area where you know that it's good. All right, guys, when we come back, we'll wrap it up for the day.
No doubt.
all kinds of gifts and contributions and everything else here. More than anything, we're just happy to have you in here on this Rapid Fire Friday. We're happy to have Moan back.
I'm happy to be back.
And Leveraged has the definitive question out of the Senior Bowl for you to close up our show today. Who are you recruiting, Moan?
Who
are
you going recruiting? After?
Who do you like?
Tavondre Sweat. Tavondre Sweat. You hear me? And Charles Turner. Sign me up, man.
Wow. This is the offensive guy saying he's going to go to the defense.
That's because I know what the standard
is.
I
thought you might say Powers Johnson.
I do, but I just don't know if he's going to slip enough. There's other centers, too. I thought the strongest group was probably the tackles and centers as far as the O-line go. The guards didn't overly impress me. I did see Jackson's Powers Johnson play guard some, and so did Charles Turner, too. But they're better centers, I think, than guards.
It's Friday, everybody.
It is, man. Hey, y'all know how this thing goes, man. I appreciate all y'all, DK, too, man. Y'all held it down while I was out. There we go, Dolly, with the fireworks. Y'all know how it goes going into the weekend, man. Dolly is a hoot. Hey, make it back to us on Monday, man. Hey, call somebody you hadn't talked to in a while. Apologize if you have to. Buy somebody a random drink. Do an act of kindness, man. Have a random conversation. Okay, we're so divided as a country, it feels like at times. Man, I don't care what side they're on, political, fan base-wise. Have a random conversation. But at all things, man, make it back to us on Monday as we do this thing, right? Okay?
We'll see everybody on Monday, guys. We'll see everybody on Monday right after I get my spell check fixed here.
Peace, good people.
Bye-bye. Okay.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.